to his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise. Give him praise. Come into his presence.
The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Thanksgiving in your heart, your voices raise, give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names.
I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Let us pray. Father, almighty and eternal God, whose glory we find revealed in the person of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is in his name that we come to worship and honor you this day. Claiming the sacrifice of your Son, we stand before you as redeemed people, justified and sanctified in his name. Be with us here this morning as we offer our prayers and praise in supplication. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrows grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Harvest grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last, in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glory.
us
harvest home.
You may be seated. As you can tell, we're having all sorts of issues this morning. Okay, if the ushers would come forward, we will continue our worship with the offers of our tithes and offerings.
Our reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1. To each, according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to sort of introduce this scripture a little bit more. It is Jesus' explanation of the prior 13 verses, where he ended saying, "Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when God shall return, for it as if a man." So it is the explanation of what that ended in. Today is 19 November 2017. As I've come up to this Sunday, it's with a lot of memories of things from the past. It's a day for me that is significant for many ways. And I don't know that I've shared in my time here really the significance of today. Today would have been my dad's 80th birthday. He died 1 June 2000. Today was the day, 19 November 1995. When I held my first charge conference as a full-time Methodist pastor. Some people say, "Do you think that's a pleasant memory?" The best part about it was we had a soup luncheon for the charge conference, and it was over. But on that day, something more important happened. Of all the things, as I look back on 19 November, I remember sharing along the years, as it was my dad's birthday, it would also be typically the day following or 2 days following, like it falls on a Sunday. Tomorrow would be the opening of deer season in North Carolina. It always opened the Monday before Thanksgiving Thursday. You had 2 weeks. Just there. But even greater than that, was 19 November 1995. It was the day of that first charge conference, remember? We had worship on that Sunday morning. I'd been sent to my first appointment, and they said, don't do much. Endure it for a year or so, and we'll send you off to a real church because we're going to close that one. That's encouraging. But it kind of followed my call narrative, which is Isaiah chapter 6. Have you read Isaiah 6? Isaiah hears the Lord, sees the Lord, and says, here am I, send me. And God says, okay, I'll send you. Go preach, but they're not going to listen. Yeah. Go tell them, but they're not going to hear. I'm going to harden their hearts and close their ears. And Isaiah must have thought, wow, why go? You know, I thought, why go? But on that Sunday morning, I baptized Matthew Swafford, a new believer in Jesus Christ, and his daughter, 9 days old, together. That's the greatest memory I have of the 19th of November. It was that baptism. Scared to death, hadn't been a pastor very long, and my superintendent sitting in the second row back going, and knowing charge conference was coming up, I had 80 pages of forms done. He took 7, threw the rest in the trash can, and said, have a great day. And left. He didn't even stay for the soup. That was okay with me. I figured that's an extra bowl. Because it was pretty good. And in honor of me, some of you who were in the book study this morning know, they put no peas in the soup. I haven't figured out a reason for a pea yet. Do you know they have no vitamins? They just have fiber. I have news for you, I don't need it. I'll do without it. Just don't like those peas. That's just me. Are you at a funeral this morning? My goodness. It's the parable of the talents. It doesn't say it's a parable, does it? It doesn't say it's a story. No, he says, for it is as if a man. He's telling something. It is a story of Jesus. It is a story of Christ who's going to give to his servants. I don't like the word slave here. Going back and looking at the Greek, servant is actually the better word. So you can write that in if you like, but it's servant for the servant. And it's as if this man who knew that his time was coming, that he was going to go away for a season, gives out gifts, talents. Now, later in the text, it says money, and you got a lot of stuff in there going on, but it's to give out special gifts to each one of them, unique to them, but his nonetheless. How many of us realize that everything we have belongs to God? Right? So every good gift, James reminds us, comes down from the Father above, and everything that we have belongs to God. We're kind of arrogant thinking it's ours. We're kind of arrogant thinking we got it. We're kind of arrogant thinking we made it. God blessed us with it. We need to be grateful and thankful and live in that spirit of gratitude. So it's as if a man goes off and he gives out 3 sets of gifts, 3 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. To the first servant, he gives 3, and it looks like immediately he goes out and goes to work. He goes out and he takes that gift that this man had given him, and he starts doing stuff with it. And when he starts doing stuff with it, it grows and it doubles. Then the guy with 2, he goes out the same thing, it doubles. But now that guy that just got 1, I don't know if he is ticked because he just got 1. I don't know if he's upset because he got the last one. But I think what he got was this. The first one accepted the gift with gladness. The second one accepted the gift with gladness, but I don't think that third one accepted the gift with gladness. So I think he went and stuck it in a hole. That to me isn't somebody's glad to have a gift, right? How many of you put a gift somebody gave you in a hole? Dig a hole and bury it. How many of you give somebody a gift and you watch to see if they use it? Come on. Come on. Especially if you've taken the time to figure out what they needed. Especially if you've taken the time to figure out what they really needed to make their life easier, make their life better, or help others in their family. You've taken the time to, I'm not talking about that superficial gift, you know, of a gift card. Is that a gift, really? Well, it sort of is. Maybe it's a good gift if you've got to mail it 2,000 miles. Maybe it's kind of handy. My two grandmothers growing up were quite different. My dad's mom gave everybody the same gift at Christmas. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter if you were 3 or 83. You got the same gift from her. Now, my mother's mom, my grandmother on my mom's side, that, oh no, this was a different story. This woman was a terror at the TGNY and the Ben, you don't even know what these stores are, and the Ben Franklin's Five and Dime. How many of you remember them? Okay, we're back there a while now, aren't we? My grandpa would go, but he wouldn't go in. He said, you can go and you'll go in, but well, you won't go but once and you'll see why I don't go. It took a full complement of store clerks to follow her. Because if she was going to get you a shirt, how many of you remember when every shirt you bought was in a plastic bag, you pulled it out and it had 40 pins around a piece of cardboard? Do you remember that? Uh-huh. You know, only the good ones come that way now, right? The rest of them are hanging on a sheet, and everybody's had their hands on it. But you go, she would open every one of them. She'd take all the pins out of them, and she'd hold them up. And she'd look at them in the mirror. I think this would look good on him or her. And if not, it just went right back on the stack, and she got another one out. There was a clerk following her around, folding, pinning, poking it back in the box, you know. And every gift was that way. For her, the shopping wasn't just to get the gift. It was she had you in her mind. She saw you in that store with her. Every gift that Granny got you was picked out for you and you alone. Nobody got the same thing. No grandkid got the same thing. Everybody got something and got something different. It wasn't much. It wasn't expensive, but it was different. And one of the things that Granny would always say was, did I get something you can use? It was important to her that it not just be a foo-foo gift. But if she was going to spend the money she was working hard for, was it something you could use? Now, my other grandmother, you got a pair of black socks. Everybody got a pair of black socks. Period. It didn't matter who you were, and they were all the same size. She bought a pack of 24 black socks, and her Christmas shopping was done. But she wrapped every one of them. I guess that counts and put your name on it. But you knew everybody's it was the big joke. If you don't like your socks, I'll swap with you. You know, it was the big joke. But that's what we got. Do you know what? I just tossed mine over to somebody. That became the big joke. We socked each other. You picked one out, and everybody piled their socks on. Somebody got X number of pair of black socks because we wouldn't take them back. It's the way it was. We didn't appreciate that gift. We didn't do anything with that gift. She didn't care if we did anything with it or not. She just got it because she was. So we didn't receive it with gladness. We didn't receive it with joy. Christmas was work for her. Christmas was a task to do. Christmas was we just have to do this, you know. Had all the kids over, all the grandkids over, and she was so negative. Now, my grandpa, on the other hand, her husband, he was always happy because by the time you got there, he has done into the moonshine about a half quart. And I figured out later he was probably trying to put up with grandma. You know, anyway, he had good Christmas. And pretty soon, everybody's going out to the smokehouse with him. And they were having a good Christmas, too. You know, it's just the way it was working, you know. So it's different. It was different. And I see that in these gifts that are given out by this person. I believe that God gives everybody who believes in him through his son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he knows you, the number of your hair. He knows you so well. And he gives you a gift. A blessing, if you will. Every gift from God's a blessing. He gives that to you. But I think sometimes we don't respond so well to it. Sometimes we keep it. Sometimes we don't do much with it. Sometimes we don't even know what it is. We haven't figured it out, you know. But then maybe sometimes I think the gift is Jesus. I think the gift is received by the first two is Jesus. And I think he didn't want the gift, that last one. And it speaks of that accountability and that judgment. For you see, the thing I've learned is God doesn't bless us just for our own sake. God doesn't give us the gift and the blessing for us to dig a hole and bury it. God doesn't give us this blessing so that we can just use it for ourselves and self-gain and self-value. But he gives us this blessing. We are blessed, church, to be a blessing. He gives you gifts, talents, abilities, spiritual gifts and graces to use to spread the good news. And I have news for you. He's going to ask you about what you did with it. He's going to be my granny on my mama's side and say, is it something you used? And you know what was really cool was next year she remembered what she got you. And she would say, how did that so-and-so, how did you use it? How was it helpful? There was an accountability. I want you to think for just a minute. The greatest gift we received at Christmas was Jesus. The greatest gift we received at Easter was the resurrection. And that gift was God's very own Son, whose life nailed on a cross, who God had to turn his back on to let him die for our sins. What if that were your child? What if that were your loved one that you let die that others may be saved? Would you want to know what they did with your gift? What have you done with your gift? Do you realize how blessed you really are and the blessing that you should pass on, that we should pass on? How precious the gift is. I don't think that we should hide it in a hole. But I think we need to use it. Whatever gift is God has given you, he gave it uniquely to you, with you in mind, not to just use for yourself, but to share him in the world around you. In small ways or large ways, but in some way, to increase that gift. And the greatest gift that he's given you was love poured out on a cross and resurrected from a tomb. And the greatest gift that we can give back is to love as we have been loved, forgive as we have been forgiven, to reach out as we were reached out to. For he died for us while we were yet in our sins. That proves God's love for us. We are blessed to be a blessing. Sometimes the greatest blessing we can give someone is the gift of presence, forgiveness, and love. And the greatest is love. How are we using his gifts? Are we blessed and are we a blessing in return? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, would you empower us to use our gifts to be a blessing, to realize that we are blessed, that we could share that blessing. The greatest gift is the gift of Jesus Christ, to share that good news with the world around us, to tell people of his love, his grace, and his mercy. There is no greater gift given to humanity than God's love poured out in Jesus. And Father, that is the good news, that Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again, that we may have life and have it abundantly. The good news is we are not alone, that Christ is with us. Father, the good news and the gift is love that's to grow within our hearts and lives, not to be hidden, but to be shared, to heal our wounds and to help us heal the wounds of others. So, Father, help us know that you have blessed us with that gift of grace and mercy, that we could share that gift in the world around us, in our family, with our friends, and in our communities. Father, that we would tell them about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us, and that they would find love, grace, and mercy in our thoughts, words, and actions. That they would see Christ alive in us, and that our life would exemplify that gift, that talent, that gift of special use for us, a gift given particularly and picked for us, God's love in Christ Jesus. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers lifted before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of the single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know, till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord. Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
It was 19 November 1995 when I baptized Matthew Swofford and his first daughter, Ashley. In the following years, I would baptize three more of Matthew and Karen's children. I would see Matthew share that gift of Christ into his family. I would see his dad, his mom, two brothers, and a cousin give their life to Jesus. And I would get the pleasure to baptize them too. You see, I watched Matthew take that gift and gently share it with his family. Dedication to his church and faith community. Not talking about structures. And I watched his family change. I saw him struggle. I would later bury his mom and his dad. It didn't make things magically better and wonderful, but it made everything the family went through. They went through with faith, love, and God's presence. I saw God work miracles in that family because Matthew took those gifts. I bet you've seen those things too, haven't you? May we go to use the gift God has given us to make a difference in the lives of others and in our community and in our families. And now may the Holy Spirit go with you, lead you, guide you, empower you, and strengthen you in using those gifts to touch those lives that need that good news so bad. Truly, may you go with the peace and grace of God in your heart and life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.